You're listening to Sister Stargazers, celestial and terrestrial observations and advice from two real-life sisters.
Hello, welcome, fellow stargazers. Your sisters are in the house. Greetings, Jude.
Greetings, Sarah. How are you doing?
We're doing fantastic, and you're doing well?
I'm doing great.
Well, let's just jump right into episode 32.
Yeah.
We're looking at Sunday, April 17th through Saturday, April 23rd. There seemed to be some activity we want to bring attention to. So where should we start?
Well, Mercury is busy this week. Mercury's our methods of communication, our methods of thinking, our mind, our thoughts. Mercury starts off Sunday on the 17th and makes a sextile to Venus. So Mercury's in Taurus, which is an earth sign. A sextile to Venus is, Venus is in Pisces. Mm-hmm. So the sextile is a very easy flow. So there's a lot of grace, charm, wit available for any kind of communication, social interaction, and very practical minded. It doesn't have to be anything lofty. Mm. Venus is in Pisces, loves to just, you know, take it easy, relish the moment. And Mercury in Taurus is also very practical. In Taurus, it loves to take care of things. It loves to talk about money, values, property, things like that, things that have to do with the Taurian realm, which is the earth and all the goods of the earth, the fruits of the earth. Taurus is really concerned with farming.
Okay.
So there might be, you know, we might be all talking about our gardens and what we want to plant, and we might be having seed parties, seed exchange parties, you know, that kind of thing. Okay.
Okay.
And that's on the highest, working its way up to the highest level. I mean, it could also be we have song swaps or sing-alongs or social occasions where there's music and dancing. You know, that's also Mercury sextile Venus. That's a very good manifestation of that kind of thing.
Fun.
On the lower level, it can just be a gossip fest.
Okay. Yep.
You know, so these aspects are multivalent, which means that they can manifest at different levels. A gossip fest could be a party of seed swappers with a very practical purpose, right?
Right.
But it's about the focus, right? It's about the consciousness. So when you as an individual, as a person, bring your consciousness to whatever it is that you're doing. And when the planetary influences come to bear on you, your consciousness makes the difference between whether that energy manifests as a higher vibration or a lower vibration. So it's multivalent. I know that's a new word, which means that it can...
We'll add it to our glossary.
It can manifest, and this is a Richard Tarnas
phrase or definition.
Yes, it's cosmos and psyche. If anyone wants to know, he's written also The Passion of the Western Mind, a brilliant writer and philosopher and astrologer.
Mm-hmm.
So this multivalent nature of the way the energies manifest is really up to us. So Mercury sextile Venus, you know, like have a seed swapping party or a seedling planting party or,
fun.
You know, have some fun doing something practical. Because Monday, the sun's going to square Pluto and the moon's going to square Saturn. So we've got some heavy duty power.
Okay.
We've got some heavy duty considerations of how we manifest our power. So Sun in Taurus square, Pluto in Capricorn. How do we express our power? What do we value? How do we use our power to support the things that we value? How do we transform with the use of our self power?
Yeah.
The moon square Saturn is how do we feel? How do we work with our feelings? What do we do with them? How do we make them work for us? How do we constructively work with the emotions? Mm. So those are happening on Monday, as well as, again, Mercury conjuncting Uranus. So Mercury in Taurus moves into a conjunction. It was at 11, 12 degrees, and now it's at 13 degrees conjunct Uranus.
Wow. He's flying.
Yeah. And then the next thing that happens is Venus sextiles Uranus.
Okay.
So Uranus is all about surprise, inventiveness, spontaneity.
Right.
Uranus in Taurus is about inventions to do with farming. It could be technology about farming. It could be
like methods or practices.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Mercury conjunct Uranus can also be surprising news about things like the weather. Taurus is about the earth, and it's also about what we value. So surprise is about what we value, possibly the stock market.
Yeah.
So these are all possible manifestations working with the energy of Mercury conjunct Uranus in Taurus.
Okay.
Taurus is about the good things in life,
right?
The food, the things of the earth, the metals, the plants, the livestock, the harvest, the growing season. Venus sextile Uranus can be, again, our values. Venus is our values. Venus is exalted in Taurus.
Right.
Venus is making a sextile to Uranus from Pisces, a water sign. So there might be issues around water, surprising issues around water. How do we value our water supply?
Right.
Taurus is also about society. So
right.
We are, I think, in many ways getting it, you know, in one way or another, through our food, through our water, through our medicine, through our whatever it is, our environment. And it's also Earth Day.
I was going to say, yeah, Earth Day is coming up. It seems like an appropriate aspect to be in consideration for Earth Day.
Yeah. So the next day, the 19th, Tuesday, the sun moves into Taurus. So we have these themes
right.
of the earth, you know, news, shocking news about the earth, about the stocks, about commodities.
Wow. All right.
Mercury is making a lot of aspects. Mercury quintiles Mars. It gives a lot of energy and aggressive attitudes for ideas. You're never at a loss for an answer. You're able to debate eloquently. You're courageous. You might be rash in speech and have a strong will. So there's literary gifts with Mercury quintile Mars. So there might be some arguments made that are very well made.
Is a quintile a harmonious aspect, or is it a... Do you know the degree of a quintile?
A quintile, I believe, is 72 degrees.
Okay.
And it's a harmonious, it's positive. It's considered positive and subtle and spiritual in dimension.
Okay.
So it can, again, offer some qualities of debate.
Okay.
And Mercury makes a semi-sextile to Chiron.
Okay.
So there may also be opportunities for healing this week.
That to me seems like the positive spin of this. Going into Earth Day, there may be some just good positive conversations about our relationship to the earth and what we do value and
right.
raising the consciousness of how we treat what we have.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
We have some really great visual astrology to look
Ooh,
at this week.
Yay!
We have the Lyrid meteor showers.
Mm.
And we have Comet C-2021-03.
Oh, that good old C-2103.
So Comet C/2021-03, and it's called Pan Stars.
Ooh.
And it must be an abbreviation for something, because STARRS is all capital Pan Stars.
Yeah.
It's going to pass close. So close is within 42.8 million kilometers
right.
to the sun on April 21st.
Okay.
And it could brighten. See, they don't know what these things can do.
Yes. Yeah.
They have no idea until it gets here. So
yeah.
it's going to become visible. It's going to pass close to the sun. And it could maybe brighten up well enough to be seen by the naked eye. Nobody knows
okay.
until late April or early May. When you look out there in the west, northwest sky just after sunset, and you notice that maybe there's a comet out there. And I'm hoping that the news will pick it up and tell people, you know, go look at it.
Sure.
So that's happening. And that's something to watch out for, is that if it does become visible to the naked eye by late April. Is this something to keep on your calendar?
Yeah.
And then the Lyrid meteor showers are one of the best of the year.
Yeah.
And they are peaking in the early morning hours of the 21st.
Excellent.
Before the last quarter moon rises. So the last quarter moon typically rises around midnight.
Oh, I was going to say, it sounds like we won't have to get up at 3 a.m. to see the Lyrids. We might be able to catch them before midnight.
Yeah, absolutely. The best time to watch is between sunset on April 21st and moonrise in the early morning. The Lyrid meteor showers, that's April's shooting stars, last from about April 15th to the 29th.
Okay.
And there's about 10 to 15 meteors per hour that can be expected at the shower's peak in a dark sky.
Right.
But the Lyrids are also known for these uncommon surges, and they don't know when those happen, but they can happen, these surges of shooting stars that can sometimes bring up to 100 shooting stars an hour.
Awesome.
They're rare. These are rare outbursts. And they're not easy to predict, but they're one of the reasons the tantalizing Lyrids are worth checking out. And the radiant for this shower, that the radiant is where it's the point in the sky where it looks like it's
origin.
Coming from. Yeah, the origin is near the bright star Vega in the constellation Lyra.
Hence the name Lyrid.
Yes. And go to earthsky.org to find out more.
Yeah. We'll put links down there. Yeah, I mean, that is the great thing about the internet is if you just plug in Lyrid, you can find out all about it and where in your time zone to go check it out. And I think it's also one of the oldest recorded meteor showers in modern history, going back to ancient Eastern cultures recording them thousands of years ago. So that's kind of cool.
That is cool.
Once upon a time, other generations saw those same meteor showers.
Yeah, it's very cool to think about it. And then their light has been, you know, their the dust.
Right.
I mean, that's the thing about the comet, too. You know, that comet is coming in from outer space.
Yeah.
Like it's coming in to our solar system.
Yeah.
Our little spinning
community
group of planets and
our neighborhood.
All dwarf Kuiper belt objects. And it's coming into this system and leaving its dust.
Yeah.
You know? So the comets are also like these harbingers and messengers from outer space. You know, you can look at them that way.
What are they saying? What messages are they bringing?
I don't know. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you can go and meditate on them. I mean, that's the thing that, you know, I think there's something to that, that there is a, there's a message coming in, you know, like there's some something we need to pay attention to.
And they kind of hang in the sky. If you've ever seen a comet, it's not like a shooting star where it's like, and there it goes. You actually can sit and meditate with a comet because it's there in that little spiral shape, just sort of hanging in the sky as it travels, which is kind of cool.
Right. And then it's gone.
And then it's gone.
Yeah. So it's it is. It's something to watch and kind of meditate with.
Okay.
On Friday, the 22nd, Earth Day, the moon conjunct Pluto.
Yeah.
So we have another opportunity with Pluto to dive deep. You know, anytime the moon conjuncts Pluto once a month here, you know, we have this opportunity to consider the power of our feelings, the depth of our feelings, you know, the secrets we might be keeping from ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moon conjunct Pluto, truthful feelings come to the surface. The moon is our feeling body.
Yeah.
It's a metaphor for our feelings. And when that moon energy conjuncts Pluto, the darkness, the deep transformative power, the biological urges, you know, the things that we don't recognize or we don't understand or that happen by themselves,
right.
You know, like
digestion.
Yeah. Exactly. Elimination, digestion, you know, all that stuff that you don't have to think about.
Yeah.
These biological urges or these things that are just ongoing that are brought to the surface. Not that you have to keep your eye on your digestion, but it's about the truths that we keep from ourselves.
Yeah.
So the moon can help us to process them, the feelings.
And the moon moves pretty quickly, but it's going to stay in Pluto or is it?
It's in Capricorn and Pluto's at 28 Capricorn. So
oh, I see.
It's just about getting through with Capricorn. It's going to hang at the 28, 29 degree anorectic degree of Capricorn for a while,
right,
before it moves into Aquarius. But then the moon will move into Aquarius on Saturday.
And you were mentioning sort of that the moon, as the moon moves through the signs, which it moves through fairly quickly, like every couple of days, every 2.5 days or so, that it also is passing through aspects of our bodies, traveling through the lower half of the body to release towards the feet.
Right. The moon is going out of the signs.
Okay.
And that's a way of saying that from Scorpio, where the moon was at the early part of the week, the sign of Scorpio rules the genitals. So as the moon passes through Scorpio, that's an influence on that part of the body.
Mm.
Then the moon moves into Sagittarius, and that's considered the thigh region. Then the moon moves into Capricorn, the knees, and then the moon moves into Aquarius. So these are body parts that are ruled by these different signs. And as the moon travels through these signs, it's traveling out of the body.
Got it.
So actually, the time between Sunday, April 17th, and Saturday, April 23rd, is a good time to release any old habits or bad habits or addictions.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a physical addiction. It could be a dopamine addiction, you know?
Right, right.
Any kind of addiction, a food addiction.
Yeah.
Anything you want to release, you can more easily do that as the moon is moving out of the signs, out of the body, releasing its energy through the feet as it moves into Pisces, the last sign of the zodiac, for example.
So it sounds like that might be a good practice this week of the 17th through the 23rd, doing nice shakedowns or some dancing. Some...
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Shake it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, think about things you want to get rid of.
Yeah.
It's waning now, so it's releasing its light. So this is another good reason to be able to release things that no longer serve you in this week of April.
And I did pull a card for this week that may help us with the kind of releasing. I pulled Archangel Sandalphon, and the quote is, "Be very gentle with yourself at this time. Surround yourself with gentle people, situations, and environments." Because it does sound like a loaded week with lots of mercurial energy, that we can remind ourselves to be gentle in this time.
Yeah, that's really good advice. Good to be gentle.
And maybe, you know, because it is Earth Week and Earth Day, letting Mother Nature help you be gentle, maybe going outside. And with the release through the feet, maybe getting some bare feet and some early spring dew.
That's a really good idea. Yeah, there's healing qualities in the dew.
Mm.
They used to collect the dew. I mean, there were these potions that were made from the dew that collected on certain flowers and certain plants at certain times of the day, especially early morning.
Awesome.
That's another story.
That is another story for another day. Well, fellow stargazers, thanks for tuning in this week. Let us know how things are working for you. You can email us at Connected Sister Stargazers. And don't forget to hit like and subscribe and share on one of our platforms where you're finding us, and tell your friends. And we're hoping that this information is good for you. So I guess until next time.
Yes, we love you all. Thank you so much for your support and your kindness, and be good to one another and yourself.
Thanks, everybody. And thanks, Jude.
Thank you. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to Sister Stargazers. Let us know what worked for you this week. Find us on Facebook and post a comment at Sister Stargazers.